Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the 12th Sunday in Trinity Tide. We're about halfway through the season. And as said before, during Advent through the Pentecost season, we learn about the mighty works of Christ in our behalf. His life, his ministry, his crucifixion, resurrection, his ascension, and the coming of the Holy Ghost. And during the so-called green season, which other parts of the church call ordinary time, I prefer the idea of Trinity Tide because the backdrop of this season of Trinity Tide is the mystery of the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the love for one for the other, one God, three persons, showing that triangle of love. A colleague for today talked about our manner of praying. And I have to remind myself that I don't like to ask things for things that somebody else may not even have, and they have a lot less than I do, but God wants to ask those things. And he'll answer those things according to his will. But he wants us to ask. And he'll always give an answer. The answer may be long forthcoming, and it may be no. But it all comes around, and his glory shall be shown through all of it. And parts of the church, today, September 8th, is when a lot of parts of the church celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think we need to understand what the Blessed Mother is and what she isn't. She is not one to be worshipped, but rather she's one to be reverenced, revered, for which we ask intercession. We ask intercession from our friends. I ask you to pray for me. I pray for you, and likewise. And so it becomes obvious to me that we can certainly invoke the intercession of the Blessed Mother to pray for us in all our needs. The Blessed Mother is, first of all, came forth with an immaculate heart, not immaculately conceived, but with an immaculate heart, prepared ahead of time by God to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the one who would bring the Savior of the world into the world. The Word made flesh. She is the first tabernacle of the church. We make a tent-like thing there that resembles a tabernacle in which the Blessed Sacrament is being reserved at this time. But she carried that within her. And I think if we think about that we should give her a special place in our during the course of the Christian year. I have a reading here from St. Andrew of Crete, who was an 8th century bishop from that island, quite a homilist, a theologian. And he writes thus about the Blessed Virgin Mary. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are made new. The law comes to an end with Christ, who leads us away from the letter of the law so as to bring us to the Spirit. It is fulfilled in this, that the lawgiver himself has brought it entirely to completion, transforming the letter into the Spirit, summing up all things in himself and living by the law of love. He has made law subject to love and joined love to law in concord, not fusing the particular qualities of each, but in a marvelous way making light and free whatever is burdensome and servile and repressed. We are no longer to be enslaved by the elemental spirits of the world, as the Apostle says, or held in the yoke of slavery to the letter of the law. This is a summary of the benefits of Christ for us. This is the unveiling of the mystery. This is nature made new, God and man, and the deification of the human nature assumed by God. But so radiant, so glorious a visitation of God to men, indeed, some prelude of joy to introduce us to the great gift of salvation. The present feast is such, this the Nativity, Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Mother. The prelude is the birth of the Mother of God, Theotokos, and the concluding act is a union which is destined between the world and human nature. A virgin is now born and suckled and molded and is made ready to be the Mother of God, the King of all forever. Justifiably, then, is the mystery of this day to be celebrated, since a double gain will be ours if we do so. We shall be led towards the truth. We shall be led away from a life of slavery to the letter of the law. How will this be? Clearly, in so much as the shadow yields to the presence of the light, and grace introduces us freedom in place of the letter. The present feast stands on the border between these. It joins us to the truth instead of signs and figures. It brings in the new in place of the old. Let the whole creation therefore sing praise and dance and unite to celebrate the glories of this day. Today, let there be one common feast of those in heaven and those on earth. Let everything that is in the world and above the world join together in rejoicing. For today, a shrine is built for the Creator of the universe. The creature is newly made as a divine dwelling for the Creator. I think that last line really says it all. The creature, us, made ready as a divine dwelling for the Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord came forth at His Nativity as we celebrate Christmas. He lived His life. He did according to what His Father had Him to do, showed miracles and wonders, and finally turned His head towards Jerusalem and made that final sacrifice for us, the one sacrifice that would unite us once again to God the Father. And now He's here present with us. All things are ready. Let us come and dine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.